Welcome to Imprint, a podcast about creating a home and life you love. I'm Natalie Walton, and each week I'm sharing insights and interviews about the creative process to help encourage and inspire you wherever you're at on your journey. Before we start today's episode, I've got a quick question for you. Would you like to know how to make your home beautiful using what you've already got? Well, I've created a free ebook, 7 Days, Your Guide to Styling Success. And all you have to do to grab a free copy is go to nataliewalton.com/the Styling Masterclass. Just fill out the form and you'll get it delivered direct to your inbox. I'll share how you can style your home in 7 easy steps. There's one activity for every day of the week. Just go to nataliewalton.com/the Styling Masterclass to download your free ebook. Hello, everyone. Hope you're all well. Today, I'm going to answer a question that many of you have asked me on Instagram. I put out a post, or it was on stories a short while ago, asking for what you would love me to create as my next book. And so many of you asked about the idea of sustainable living, and specifically sustainable living, creating a sustainable home on a budget. Now, I'm sure most of you, I'm hoping, have got my book still, and that is all about creating sustainably and really embracing the principles of slow living within your own home, which is about sustainable, local, organic, and whole. So that's the acronym for still, or for, sorry, for slow. Still is obviously something completely different. But for slow living is really about embracing sustainable living. If you haven't already got the book still, then I highly recommend you get a copy if you're really interested in this idea of having and creating a more sustainable home. In that vein as well, I should say that, of course, I would love very much for you to buy a copy, but I know that some libraries stock copies of the book. And so in that spirit of sustainability, you could also try and get a copy. I know this was a bit crazy. I think it was for my book, This Is Home, and somebody sent me a message that she was in Canada, and there was something like 24 holds on my book, This Is Home, in this library in Canada, which I thought was hilarious. And she said that she just in the end decided to buy herself a copy. And I know many people who do have the book say that they refer back to both of them many times. So I really did create my books with the thought that I wanted them to be timeless in themselves, that they could be things that you could go back to and continue to learn and continue to have these important reminders for how we all live. And in many ways, these books are a personal reminder for myself as well. So it's not that I think, that I've got everything all worked out. These are the things that I've wanted to work out for myself and create as a reminder about what is most important in our lives and in our homes. So as I mentioned, many of you were asking about ways to create a sustainable home on a budget. Now, if you haven't already listened to episode 39, I also suggest that that is a good place to start. So that episode is about sustainable ways to save when designing your home, because on our most recent renovation project, which was renovating a former workshop into a studio space, that is what we did. There were many things that we did within the space, which were everything we tried to be sustainable and everything we tried to be low toxic and healthy. But some of the things were perhaps more of an investment and a long-term decision in terms of the price point, such as putting Tadillac on the walls. But there were other things that were definitely, we tried to make savings where we could. I'll just give you a couple of examples here, but this episode 39 details them all out for you. So a few ways was that we got marble offcuts from a supplier on the Gold Coast, and that we saved ourselves thousands of dollars for that. We installed a composting toilet, which was also another way to save thousands, tens of thousands of dollars, actually, because we didn't have to overload our septic system, which meant that we would have to get a new septic system and all of the plumbing. Even if we just went to our current septic system, it would have cost thousands more to do that. And also something as simple as using construction grade timber rather than furniture grade timber with some of our joinery and cabinetry. So they are just a few of the examples of ways that we saved. But if you're interested in learning more, I highly recommend you go and listen to episode 39 after this one. But you're here now, so let's look at some of the sustainable ways that you can create your home on a budget. First of all, I'm going to kind of break this down into three different sections. The first is to work with what you've got. The second is the materials that you source for your home, particularly if you're doing a renovation. And the third relates to how you actually decorate. I really don't like the word decorate. I feel like decorate sounds sort of soft and like it's something that's not important. But obviously, you need chairs to sit on. You need a sofa. You need to somehow surround yourself with the things that you love. Maybe that's artwork, or maybe it's other things within your home. So adding those layers that actually make a home feel like a home is very important. And one day I'm going to maybe try and think of a word that sounds a bit more important than decorate. I just think that decorate so often sounds fluffy when I really don't believe that it's not. Anyway, for the meantime, we're just going to call that section decorate. So let's start with the first section, which is how to work with what you've got. One of the best ways to create or renovate a home, or, you know, make your home somewhere, make some improvements to your home, if you don't have a huge budget, is to not extend the footprint of your building. So if you can work within the existing footprint, that in itself will save you a lot of money. As soon as you start to extend, then you're going to really go into much greater costs involved with the renovation of your home. And that is actually one of the things that we decided with the studio as well, that we were going to work within the existing concrete slab. There was already a concrete slab there. And if you work with that, then you're not having to, you know, get footings or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. You're not going to have to go to all the expense, because concrete is actually very expensive and it's not a very sustainable material. So if you can just work with your existing slab, if that's what, I mean, I'm presuming that's what you're on, as opposed to, you might be on a like Queenslander style house where you've got the footings, but most homes have some kind of concrete slab. And so if you work within that, then that is definitely a much more sustainable choice, and it's much more cost efficient choice as well. The other thing is to, you can, if you want to create a sense of space in your home, then you can go high rather than going further out. So again, you're not extending the footprint, but for instance, you might remove a ceiling. And by removing that ceiling, you can create more sense of height. You can allow more light into your space. It can maybe look better because you might see some beautiful trusses or beams. And that is one way that you can, you know, make improvements to your home without necessarily going to a huge expense as well. And another thing to consider is, now, this comes down to, it's a bit of a tricky one, but it's creating custom features. Now, on the one hand, I know that sometimes to get custom jewelry can seem very expensive, but in other ways, I actually think that it can be a cost saving for you, because as an example, you might decide to, like what we did in the studio, get a custom bench made for your dining area rather than getting chairs. Chairs can be very expensive depending on the types of chairs you get. I'm going to talk more about some other options for you shortly, but particularly if you're not extending your footprint and you're working with a small home and you have to really maximize your space, I would suggest to you that it is worth the investment of getting custom cabinetry or joinery, because that way you're actually going to maximize your space. So you're not going to be spending on money on going out. it's always a compromise, and it's working out what's the cost of doing this and what, you know, what do I get as a benefit from that, and what's the cost of doing this other option, and what's the benefit of that as well. And there are, of course, lots of inexpensive ways that you can do it. As with anything, you know, there's a cheaper way to do it and there's a much more expensive way to do it. The cheaper way to create a bench seat is just to use, if you've got any timber offcuts, maybe you can even use salvage timber, maybe you can get plywood. There are lots of different ways that you can do that that are still sustainable. But you can go to the other extreme. I mean, we got micro cement put on top, and that is, you know, creates a particular look and is more expensive as a look. But you can use that concept and do it in a much more affordable way. Another way to create a sustainable home on a budget is to really look at the materials that you're using. So one suggestion that I would have to you is to always try and find recycled or salvaged building materials first. You can make huge cost savings by doing this. You can use salvaged floorboards and really establish a good relationship with people at salvage yards, because they will then let you know when they have received new delivery of certain things. You can also look on, there are definitely different suppliers out there who specialize in salvaged doors and windows, for instance. I've mentioned this before, but within my local area, there is a guy, Simon, in Mullumbimby, and I think it's Northern Rivers Building Materials, Salvage Building Materials. We'll put it in the show notes. Don't worry about that. And there's also Red Ned's, which is close by in Sydney. There's the Heritage Building Centre. Find what it is for you, your local area that specialises in salvaged materials. Also, Chippendale Restorations. I used to go there a lot and always check out all of their beautiful doors and windows. And I always feel that that adds a lot of character as well. You can, as I mentioned, you can get floorboards, doors, windows. You can even get things on Facebook Marketplace and Gumtree. My mum was looking at salvaged sleepers, and people were giving them away for free. So you've just got to think creatively and really put out, create alerts for yourself so that when those particular, if you're looking for something in particular, maybe you are looking for salvaged windows, then create an alert for yourself on Gumtree. I'm not sure if you can do that on Facebook Marketplace, but I know that you can do it on Gumtree. You can create an email alert, and whenever somebody adds something to that particular category, then you can act quickly. And one of the big things that I would say is, I was going to mention this later, but maybe now is a better time, is that creating a master plan for your own home, when you really know what you want to create within your home, it's a much more cost efficient and time efficient way to create your home. Because what happens is that you create a plan for what you'll want your home to look like and how you're going to create it. And so that means that when it comes to knowing, you know that you want to have salvage windows, or you know that you want to use salvage floorboards. So you can create this master plan ahead of time. And then when things become available, maybe they're on sale, maybe they're on, you know, Facebook Marketplace, whatever it is, then you can act quickly and you can accumulate those items or objects when it's most cost efficient to do it. So that is one of the really big benefits of creating a master plan for your home, where you've got a plan for what your home will look and feel like, and you're really clear on it. And you're also less likely to sort of make impulse buys that actually don't work with your space, or buy things that don't work and you regret it. So it is a really good way to create a vision and a plan for your home, so you know exactly what you're trying to create. Some other ways that you can, create a home on a budget in a more sustainable way is to really look at the materials themselves and kind of question like where they're from and what the process has gone into them. Traditional paint is actually not great for the environment in terms of the manufacturing process, all of the waste that comes from it. So really consider other types of paints, not just ones that are low VOC, which is more healthy for your home. It means that they're off-gassing less. They've got a very low off-gassing period, that time when your home really smells, and it's not good for you to be breathing in all of those materials. So really, obviously that's important. But also there are some paints that are, in terms of their manufacturing process, they are much better. That could be smaller local brands that they're much more conscious in terms of the way that they manufacture their paints, and also paints that are like a lime wash type paint. So really look into that. There's a whole section in my book still, if you've got it. We've got the people from Bauwerk Color, which is Bauwerk. It's in the book and I'll add it to the show notes. And they detail the process that goes into making paint and how lime paint, lime wash paint, is really so much more better for the environment and for you as well. And your home, like, it actually is better for the materials and the whole structure. So I really encourage you to check that out as well. And I also think that paint is certainly one of the cheapest, easiest, and most impactful ways to transform your home. It has been said 100 times, if not 1,000 times or more before, but don't underestimate the power of paint. Paint can really transform your home in so many ways. And whether that is that you've bought an old little cottage and it's got crazy paint schemes, salmon pink walls, or, you know, avocado green walls, whatever that is, and you just paint everything white as a foundational color, or that's just you want to neutralize everything, it really does transform your home. But in other ways, you can experiment with paint, and you might want to paint the walls and the ceiling. You know, be adventurous with, like, there's a beautiful color called Pale Eucalypt by Dulux that Andrea Moore used in her home, which is also in my book still, but you can have a look on Instagram, Ross Farm Cabin, and it really is beautiful, the warmth that she's added to the space by using paint. So don't underestimate the power of paint to transform your walls, your ceilings, and your floors. If you've got floorboards and you don't have the money to get them sanded back and revarnished or oiled or whatever it is, you can just paint them. And you don't always have to paint them white. You can paint them a beautiful gray color or some kind of beautiful color that will really work with your interior. And that is a really efficient, cost-efficient way to transform your home and do it on a budget as well. Now let's have a look at decorate. How are some of the different ways that you can add the layers to your home that make it feel a home and not blow out your budget? Well, I am a big believer this comes with how you design your home, but also how you decorate it, is that choosing timeless options is one of the most sustainable ways that you can create your home. And I say this from experience, because I had to, when I was creating a mini masterclass for my course, the Design and Decoration Masterclass, I went through my archives of images of all the projects that I've worked on over the years. And it was really interesting for me to see which pieces in my home I still have, and just how that is such a good investment. And they weren't necessarily expensive pieces either. They were just very much timeless in design. And I'll give you a few examples. So the very first home that I bought, my very first apartment, I was 24 years old, and I bought my first apartment, a tiny little apartment in Bondi when nobody wanted to live there. That's how I could afford it at the time. And I went on a trip to Tasmania with my husband because he's got family down there. We went to there was this place and they had a train. I cannot remember. I think it's Margate, but I can't remember for the life of me where it was. And I bought these vintage bentwood chairs. And at the time, I don't know if it's still true, but it was actually cheaper for me to buy them in Tasmania and get them shipped up to Sydney than it was to buy them in Sydney, because Tasmania was very, very affordable back then. I know that prices have gone up since, but certainly in country towns, if you ever go on a drive to a country town, vintage and secondhand pieces are always so much cheaper than in cities. So definitely keep your eye out when you kind of do those little trips to, you know, the countryside or sort of off places that are off the beaten track. And I bought a set of bentwood chairs and two that had arms, and the two that have got the sort of the curved arms, they, at the time, I didn't have much money. And so I used them as occasional chairs in my living room. And now I use them as chairs. I've used them in my office and dining room. And now they're chairs that I use in my current office. And I still love them. And they were old at the time when I bought them. And they're even older now. I mean, they're now sort of 20. I've had them for about 20 years. And I still love them. They're really classic, timeless pieces. They go with a range of different interiors. At the time, I was living in a home at the beach, in an apartment at the beach. I moved into an inner city terrace. I moved into a cedar cabin in the woods. And now I'm living in the Byron Bay hinterland. And they work everywhere. And I've seen them in all sorts of homes, and they still work. At around the same time, I bought a vintage table from a shop that no longer exists in Bondi. And I bought many pieces from there over the years. Actually, it was a really great curation edit of different vintage pieces. And I still have that table. It used to be something that we used in, I used it as my desk, which was in my son's bedroom. It was sort of like a nursery / office. And well, initially it was an office, and then it became a nursery for him. And then now it's currently in my daughter's bedroom. And I still love it. I've since painted it. When I first bought it, it was a green color that, very hard for me. I can't think of the word to describe the kind of color. Like if it was avocado, it was a super soft avocado green. And which kind of, I mean, green's having a bit of a renaissance. So it probably wouldn't be so bad now, but I painted it black because I love painting. I actually use chalkboard paint, which I use on a lot of furniture because I like the matte finish, and I just think it's a very classic kind of look to either paint things white or black. And again, it just goes with everything. Whereas when I was using more greens, then certainly with decorative items, it's always then trying to make everything work together. And yeah, and I still love that piece. And we almost moved that piece, but my daughter wouldn't let me. It actually fitted perfectly in the studio to use as a vanity for the bathroom. But she said, no, I want to keep my desk. So I ended up sourcing something that was very, very similar. And yeah, those pieces really stand up the test of time. Of course, have a look on Gumtree and Facebook Marketplace, but really choose those things that are timeless. And that is one of the most sustainable ways that you can create your home on a budget. Just to give you another example, have a look on eBay for building materials too. My mum, she was renovating her former home about 2 years ago, and she bought so many things on eBay, like tiles, for example. She bought Italian ceramic tiles that somebody else had left over from another project that they didn't use, and they couldn't return them because I think the timeline for the refund period had expired, or maybe they weren't able to refund them. And so these tiles were actually, they bought them and they showed her the receipt for $6,000, and she bought them for $1,500. So have a look on eBay and all of those websites where people sell the items in their homes that are leftovers from their particular projects, you know, or people change their mind, or they are renovating something and they're taking out maybe a clawfoot bath because they don't want that in their home, but that might be the perfect thing for you. So you've really got to think a little bit creatively, but once you start to do, you really can see, and it sparks new ideas. And there are just so many ways that you can create a sustainable home on a budget. So I hope that this has inspired you and given you some ideas for your own home. And I'd love to see what you create. So tag me. I'd love to see your renovating journey and some of the things that you create within your own home. So just tag me at Natalie Walton on Instagram. Have a great week, everyone. All of the links and info you need to access for this episode are at nataliewalton.com/podcast. Thank you to Jaeger Media for producing this podcast and the people of the Bundjalung Nation where it was recorded. I look forward to connecting again soon. I'm Natalie Walton, and you've been listening to Imprint.